It's been a battle royale on RuPaul's Drag Race Season 10 with some spectacular African-American drag queens showcasing their skills to become America's next drag superstar. But unlike past seasons, these kittens got their claws out. As LaShawn Beyond says, this is not RuPaul's best friend's race. Today, our good Judy Vivacious joins us to weigh in on all the hot topics brought up on the show, from how black queens are seen and portrayed, and the struggles and triumphs that Asia O'Hara, Monet Exchange, Monique Hart, Mayhem Miller, and The Vixen are facing. Plus, why Todrick Hall says artists shouldn't be forced to be political, and Van Lathan, the journalist who called out Kanye West for saying slavery was a choice. I'm Fausto Fernos, and this is Feast of Fun.
Hello?
Mother! I got my fan back.
Miss Todrick just done put up next to her asshole. I hope she's okay.
Oh, you read that tweet about Todrick Hall saying she's not political? Todrick says, stay in your lane.
I refuse to stay in my lane. As a gay black person that does art, it's all political.
Amen, sister.
Everything is designed to shut us up or shut us down, disenfranchisement, everything. How are you going to sit there and say that you need to stay in your lane? Here's the difference between Democrats and Republicans. Democrats get up every day to try to go to work, pay their bills, go home, and pray to God they don't get sick. Republicans get up every day and try to figure out how to take away the rights of somebody else. Mm-hmm. They plot all night. It's the reason why they've always looked so aged in the face. There's no peace in their life and no peace in their soul. If you stay up all night having councils and meetings with different people on how to destroy somebody else's life, you won't get no sleep, because at the end of the day, you have two things against you. Lack of sleep from coming up with lame brain ideas and karma getting you in the end.
Vivacious, I'm sorry, but being an artist doesn't mean you have to be a politician. Some people love to create music, but don't get involved in politics. Until we're expecting our presidents to put out albums and go on world tours, then we should allow artists to stay in their lane. They don't make them queens like they used to. They don't make them queens like they used to.
They don't make house Negroes like they used to. They don't make house Negroes. This is being recorded, right?
This is on the record, honey. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, then. I have spoken.
Vivacious has spoken. My friend Brad says that the reason he's making that statement is because something that Taylor Swift said. He doesn't know all the details, but people have been saying that for a while, Taylor Swift should take political stances because she is backed by a lot of white supremacy groups and has a large fan base of Trump supporters. People were also pissed at Todrick for being her music video, Look at What You Made Me Do, because they think she is secretly racist.
Listen, the wolf comes in many sheep colors or clothing. Remember, you won't know it's a wolf until they finally pull off the top.
Mm-hmm.
All you can do is check and side eye until you verify.
Yeah. How are you doing right now?
I'm doing fine. It's allergy season, so I sound like Methuselah walked inside my sinus cavity.
Honey, I feel like Lauren Bacall right now. It's like, I feel itchy and bitchy and scratchy, calm and collected, but choky with panic, but alive.
All right, Miss Musical Theater.
I don't know if you've noticed, but there's somebody very important missing today.
Yes, Mark is missing.
He's away on a secret mission.
I don't hear my other good half going, making the real logical comments. So this means there's going to be one fucked up piece of fun that's going to railroad itself off the cliff, children. Of course, Mark is the voice of reason with fact checking.
He is
the third rail in that socket that goes in that keeps everything grounded. He know here, honey. They just let two tomfools on the air, honey. We done fucked up podcasting.
The inmates are running the prison. Oh yeah,
Harley Quinn is in charge of Rikers, Gilligan's Island, all of that shit. Gee, oh. Mr. J.
Well, we can't say what Mark is doing, but one thing we can say is that he was bitten by a large dog before he left town.
Yeah, he needs to go and get that shit. I hope he doesn't turn into a werewolf. I've seen that happen on a sci-fi TV show before.
Listen, it was fucking scary. This fucking dog was like, I was like, oh my God. I started trying to kick the dog, but then it was going after me. And I'm just like, and the woman's like going, I'm so sorry. We're leaving right now. And Mark's like, leg is gushing blood.
It's like, no, you're not leaving right now. I demand the life of your dog or your first child, one or the other.
Lady, your dog just bit a human being in the leg and he's bleeding. And she was just like, well, you know, your dog got involved. And it was like, our dog was just sniffing his butt. And your dog was like psycho killer with his balls hanging there.
Must have been Lady Bunny's dog.
Must have been Lady Bunny. She was in town, you know.
See, every time Lady Bunny comes to town, something happens. Not in New York, but when she goes to other towns.
She's doing a cover of Despacito, but instead of saying Despacito, she's saying Pasivo. It's Pasivo, which sounds a lot. You think for a minute it sounds like Willem Belli's, you know, that boy is Pasivo, you know? But then she goes, positivo, HIV positivo.
Leave it up to Bunnykins to make a fierce track. I love bitch.
Yeah. Well, you just got back from another country, didn't you?
I'm leaving to another country on Thursday. I'm going to Lebanon.
That sounds like a Bianca Del Rio joke Lady Bunny says. It's like, sure, her plane arrived safely. what country does she say? I forget, but it's like Darfur or something. Iran.
Possibly.
What are you doing in Lebanon?
I am doing Lebanon's first LGBT club kids ball.
Oh, that's fun. Will you take me with you?
If you could fit in a carry-on, because that's the only thing I plan on bringing with me.
You need an assistant, Vivacious. I can hustle those fans for money.
Sasha Velour, Manila Luzon, and Is She Hungry can show up there with full suitcases because they white. Honey, I will be sticking out like I was an African refugee trying to seek refuge. No, I'm going with a carry-on suitcase, bitch.
They don't even let you, like, check in the luggage for this tour?
They can, but sweetie, I don't know. Don't fuck with no Muslim country showing up in drag, bitch. We're for black queens. I'm black. Don't fuck with it.
Oh, yeah. Are you scared? But you're not worried about it, are you?
Of course I am. My blood pressure is through my toes.
Yeah, I remember you went to the hospital for the last drag con in New York. You were so overwhelmed by the love of your fans that they checked you into a hospital for high blood pressure.
No, that wasn't the case, bitch. That was called no sleep all week long when a certain cruise child from some country down under decided to cancel the trip after everybody done finished making costumes for 3 months with all their money earned, and now they couldn't get their deposit to go finish up the rest of that tour. Mm-hmm. There was no way I could have made enough costumes between RadCon on that departure date last year. So everything had to be done 3 months in advance, and then they cancel the damn tour. And now it's called, now you need to find ghost money to make DragCon in New York City work. A bitch had to literally make 100 plus donations in less than a week. That was not cute. That's called sleep deprivation, stress, trying to hit your quota. It took me into a very messed up place.
Well, that's what a lot of fans don't realize, that all the queens who have booths at DragCon aren't being paid to be there. They're actually spending money to exhibit there.
The only ones that pays you money to be there is the one in Australia.
Yeah.
Queer Tandy. The Queer Expo is the only one that pays you to be there. And also the English one that was already around, the Club Kids UK one that they do. They're the ones that pay you physically to be there. The RuPaul Drag Race ones, you have to foot every damn thing yourself.
Well, I heard this year's DragCon in LA is going to be the bomb.
Really?
Tyra Sanchez said so.
That was a Tyra Sanchez joke, bitch. You did not have to go there. That was a tired joke. You did not have to go DefCon 1 on the building, bitch. You leave. It's going to be the bomb ticketing.
I don't know what's going on with that. They I guess Tyra Sanchez got into a fight with Fifi O'Hara on Twitter saying, it's like, honey, if you see Fifi O'Hara spread down on the ground, I did it. Like, she took responsibility for it. And I guess World of Wonder asked Tyra Sanchez to issue a public apology on all social medias. And she's like,
which she did.
And she did.
No, she did. But I think after, I don't know what happened, but for World of Wonder to have turned around and said, we don't think it's sincere enough. Maybe after she did the apology, she probably started attacking them again. So yeah. If you attack them in between the time they said do an apology and you still have months before DragCon, if you attack them again in any form of social media, it means that your apology would not be considered sincere. Mm-hmm. So then DragCon people would then have to take the initiative to go, if you said you are sorry, and you're still attacking a few days or weeks later, then your apology wouldn't be sincere enough, because if you are going to say you are sorry, you're supposed to drop the subject. Am I correct or am I wrong?
Well, the idea is that you want to create a safe space where everybody's welcome, right?
Well,
if some of your vendors are literally saying, if I see this person, I'm going to punch them, you have a customer relations issue at least.
Well, I can neither confirm nor deny at this point, but I do believe she was told she's probably most likely not going to be there, which is a bit sad to say.
I agree.
And there are some tired trolls on the internet. Yes, I'm calling y'all tired trolls, saying that RuPaul should take back her crown. No, darling, she owns that crown upright and center, and she won that damn crown from everybody else in that season. And first of all, how are you going to take somebody's crown 8 years later? Yeah. Does that make sense? The statute of taking the crown is within 1 year off. If that winner could not do their job, then the runner-up would take over that role. Tyra did an immaculate job. The problem is other people were just bitter that she won.
Yeah. When you give the crown, I feel like it's a done deal. It's a reward for the contest.
All you little jackasses that call yourself trolls that are trying to hold a drag queen to some high standard, get over your fucking selves. We're faggots. F-A-G-G-O-T-S. That means we're fierce and gorgeous, gorgeous over time. But what that also means is this. We have a lot of scars. We have a lot of striations. We got a whole lot of chicken in the closet. We got skeletons in the closet. Shit, we probably even got Donald Trump in the closet. But we don't want him in our closet. We're wanting him in somebody else's closet. But what I'm saying is this. We are not Christians. Stop trying to sit there in some self-righteous, holier-than-thou attitude, trying to think that we're supposed to have some higher-than-higher exemplary attitude. Bitch, to get this far in life, to be gay in a society where they try to come for us, you need to know how to fight in the minefield fiercely to walk out with your head just breathing. Because that's what it is. So if y'all don't feel that Tyra Sanchez's attitude is fit for y'all, grow a pair of balls. Grow a pair of something. Grow some inner fortitude, some inner self-constitution. Do something. But you can't sit there and say her actions are affecting you. I'm not saying I'm defending Tyra. What I'm saying is I understand she needs help. But I'm not going to sit there and fester in that negative energy and pool of that. DragCon did the very right thing in terms of telling her, we don't think that you did enough on your end to fulfill the appeasement of what would allow you to come to DragCon. So you can't be wrong at mad at DragCon for telling you not to show up. You chose those options, as Tatiana would say, choices.
Yeah.
You chose to go back and maliciously still go after those girls online. So it isn't within DragCon's right to revoke your ability to show up. Now, if you're going to sit there and keep threatening that you're going to blow up a DragCon in L.A., technically speaking, DragCon also has the ability to tell you that you will not be attending anything drag race or DragCon for as long as you live. You chose that role upon yourself to be that negative. There are more constructive things that you should possibly think about how to handle such a thing with those girls. Maybe instead of talking about it online, you just go to that bitch's house and cut up her wigs.
Well, it's a situation, and I see this with drag queens, and I felt this myself, is that it's so easy to fight with other people and to burn bridges and to have hard feelings. And You know, it's like you don't have to like everybody, but you know, you got to get along with other people in your community.
I will have hard feelings. I will burn bridges, but I won't fight your ass. Because I know the day that I fight your ass, I will be going up the river.
Hmm.
Because I'm the type of person, if I have to fight you, I must remove you from the universe. So I like to be peaceful. I'm not confrontational at all, but I'm like the raccoon you put in a corner. When you back me up in a corner, I start singing Dindada.
What is that song?
That's a track by Dindada. That's a track by Kevin Aviance. Look it up.
Dindada, dum-dum-dum-dum. Dindada, dum-dum.
Exactly. When you back me up in a corner, I start to sing Dindada, honey. That means I'm channeling 400 years of African spirits to come get your ass. Yeah. And then I'm going to leap like Shaka Zulu, honey. And if you're a white boy, I'm going to munch your tread. If you're a black boy, I'm going to eat your ass. And that should put you in a psychological trauma that will leave you scarred for the next 20 years, sitting down on a Trinks couch going, that black bitch attacked me and ate my X, Y, and Z. Mm. Nobody told me she was rabid like that.
Man's rejection is God's protection. And if somebody don't like you, that is just fine. We don't have to like each other, but we can... we can live in peace. We can exist in harmony.
If you don't get along with another queen, the best way to solve the whole situation, you throw that bitch down on the couch, pull off her pants, and munch her trade. It'll solve all the problems on the planet. We're talking instant confusion meets erection meets dysfunction meets what the hell just happened all at the same time. As she's sitting there going, dear diary, that bitch done fucked me up.
They need to put some Viagra in those cocktails and untuck untuck those tucks.
No, bitch. No. You trying to bring this all up to
Cameron
this week's
Michael,
Miss no,
Cameron Michaels, only yeah, one the queen. Muscle queen from the season.
I would
throw down with her.
Not my cup of tea. I'm sure other people are living for all of you. Know what's funny? I don't find drag queens sexually attractive, except for Miss Cracker as a boy.
Oh, she's your type.
Yeah. You know, I mean, she's got to be light enough so I could throw up in the air like a frisbee and land her on my face like dough. It works perfect. She's a proper body weight, height. She'll land into a split. The tongue will slip fit right in there. Look like a perfect, you know, yin-yang combination, that sort of a thing. The season is, I'm loving season 10 of Drag Race. These girls are bringing it. That Snatch Game with Aquaria was on fucking point. I loved Eureka's as well. Can we give a fair shout out to Miss not Maya Angelou, but Miss Maya Angelou?
Well, you know, it is interesting to see different queens do the same characters over different seasons. You know, because who was it? Was it Kennedy Davenport on All Stars? I'm blanking out who did Maya Angelou.
No, Chi-Chi Devane.
Chi-Chi Devane did Maya Angelou,
She did Maya Angelou. There's a big difference. She did Maya Angelou.
She didn't know how to pronounce her name.
There's one thing we can all agree on, though. Drag queens are future seasons. Beyonce is not a Snatch Game character. Neither is Blue Ivy, Poison Ivy, Red Ivy, or Ivy Winters. They are not characters. You cannot make... Here's a fierce hint on how to do Snatch Game. If you can take the character that you have and walk around with her every day and make her funny at every day, things that are happening around you, and I mean funny, not a cheesy line. I'm talking where you jump into that character at the drop of a dime and you deliver it back to the person, even though they might not catch up on the character that you're playing, but you are able to deliver it and you make them crack up, it means you have a fully embodied character.
Mm-hmm,
you
mm-hmm.
have to make it funny. Snatch Game is not a look. It is not a costume. It is not based on one line, five lines from that person. No, there has to be multiple lines to corroborate and build together a synergistic character that you can portray in a funny way. And if you can't make it funny, you don't have a Snatch Game character. So that's why I wrote this on my post on Thursday. They don't make Snatch Game like they used to. They don't make Snatch Game. Only three people got it right. The rest revoked.
Well, that's what I really liked about Aquaria, because she felt that she had difficulty delivering lines, or she was stuttering, or she had hesitation with delivering her jokes. And so Melania Trump as a character really builds on those strengths.
Perfect.
Yeah, it was a perfect fit. And, you know, so people are thinking about Melania Trump all year long. And so in some ways, Snatch Game cannot be just an educational opportunity, like the way Jinx Monsoon brought up Grey Gardens and Little Edie Windsor. But it also can be a reflection on the trends and topics of the day.
Right. And that's why also, as an artist, artists are supposed to be political. Sorry. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, sweetie. Maybe you didn't do your history homework, but before you became They Don't Make Them Beats Like They Used To, there was the original social media bitch. Her name was Anita Bryan. She was one of the first ladies who, I think, when America had just transformed over to color TV, they did a whole section where she sang a whole bunch of gospel songs online.
Yeah.
And then she turned around to the camera and said, you know, there is a faction of people out there. And now, Anita, just so you know, Anita Bryan, when she sung that song on that day, it was the song that went across the whole nation on every TV and every radio. So that bitch, Miss Todrick, was the original social media commentator, way before RuPaul, way before Lady Bunny, and that bitch fucked all the gays on the planet. When she finished that speech, she said, there is a group of people that is inherently evil in the United States, and they're those homosexuals, and she called us out. Well, just so you know, maybe you've never heard of In the Life. It's a series that happens on Channel 13, 2 months out before Gay Pride, and then it keeps increasing more content up until Gay Pride. And this used to happen from the early 80s up until now on PBS. And it showed that after she made that statement, that was when the war on homosexuals started happening in the United States. We're talking within days, 13 LGBT attended churches around the United States got burnt down. Okay? And it kept on continuing and continuing and continuing up until then. So she used her social media platform as a celebrity to destroy the LGBT community. If you really want to get into the roots of how this whole shit started, that's where it started in this country. Because up until Miss Anita Bryant went online, went on the original TV stations and made that statement, they were not attacking gays in this country. They were like, oh, honey, she's just a man with a different flair like Blair St. Clair. They weren't paying us nooch. They didn't care what we were doing. But the minute Miss Anita took her social media influence on that ear and she sung those gospel tracks and turned around and called us by our first, middle, and snaggletooth last name, that was when they started to kill us, including those gays who gathered in that church assembly upstairs, and those straight homophobic folks decided to barricade all the doors, all the windows, and set the building on fire and killed them. Look it up before you make a statement. I'm sure you're probably there trying to defend some other celebrity friend of yours, but just remember this. It was a celebrity back then who declared war on all the LGBT. And it spread from here into every other country. So don't sit there and say artists aren't supposed to be political, because that's what started this whole gay lynch movement. Get your history facts together. I'm not reading you. I'm just saying, if you had checked all of that out, you would realize that Miss Anita Bryant helped pave the way for us to be ostracized.
Now, before I forget to bring this up, you know, if you want to do Beyonce on Snatch Game, dear future drag queen, all you need to do is look at the brilliant Maya Rudolph, who did Beyonce for years on Saturday Night Live, and just channel that. Did somebody say my name? It's me, Beyonce. Yonce. Bae. Oh, baby. And then I saw all the queens doing my impersonation of me on Drag Race, and I said, no. If you're doing a pop star on Snatch Game, just find their little catchphrases from their songs and try to work that into your conversation. Then you got it done.
Kenya Michaels tried that. It didn't work, sweetie. I would say just for future. No, she was there trying to hold on to the ring on her finger and doing a little bit of the choreography while sitting down. Latrice was not having it. Yeah. I would say just leave Beyonce alone. First of all, there's nothing funny about Beyonce. Beyonce is an
Maya
artist.
Maya Rudolph does a great job at bringing tribute and humor into Beyonce.
When I was looking for Snatch Game back then, what we realized is this. It is very hard for a black person to do Snatch Game as a female because all the black folks that are celebrities that are inspired people have made sure that they have moved forward in life in a very positive, respectable manner to make sure that there is nothing about us that people can put on reproach or call on Front Street and go, she did this, she did that, she did this, she did that. So it's very hard to find black characters to turn into something funny for a Snatch Game because our ancestors, we didn't try to play the coon, the goon, the fool if we were put in a position of responsibility because we have a lot of people that are expecting us to do great. Snatch Game for black people is very hard to do.
So who would you have done if you had been able to do Snatch Game? Well, and you will be on All Stars one day. So who are you going
to
do?
All Star. If I had to, I don't want to say because I don't need nobody to try to copy me unless they get another Jamaican.
Well, who would you do, or maybe like, what would be a possible answer to that?
My backup girl probably would be NeNe Leakes, but we all know that Jasmine Masters have that shit on motherfucking lock. So,
but I think you could really do Grace Jones quite well, you know? If you don't consider Grace Jones.
There's not that much to work with on Grace Jones. Actually, there is. If you take all her interviews that she has over the years, yes, you will have a lot to work with because Grace Jones in an interview is more funny than Grace Jones as a performer, as an artist.
And what about Eartha Kitt? Did somebody say my name? I would be perfect for that Snatch Game because I have the hottest snatch in the room.
See, it's like it's so easy to do Eartha Kitt. I don't. You know that the crazy thing is, Vixen and I talked for years about her doing Eartha Kitt on Snatch Game, and and the fact that she did Blue Ivy, I was just like, "What? You had your heart set on doing Eartha Kitt? Why did you not do Eartha Kitt?"
Because Vixen didn't do her homework. Vixen's face actually looks like Eartha Kitt. They have the same jawline.
I know. And she does. You know, Vixen
has the same jawline and the same lips. And she would have been able to pull it off quite well. The reason why I could never do Eartha Kitt is because I have a problem. It's called my Jamaican accent kicks in. So it's like mine would sound like Eartha Kingston. So that wouldn't be cunt. That wouldn't. RuPaul would be looking at me and going, "Your Eartha was a catastrophe from Kingston, Jamaica. I'm sorry, my dear, but you're up for elimination." You know, that sort of a thing. But there are fierce lines to draw from Eartha Kitt. There are some fierce interview one lines and many. Well, screw the one lines. Every single one of Grace Jones' real interviews are fierce, witty, and funny. There's a lot to draw from Grace Jones, the interviews, even the one that she did recently before she's about to release the full documentary that she just did. You can use that one and you can pull some nice pieces from that as well, also. You know, so we'll see what happened.
What did you think about Alex Trebek as a guest judge via video monitor? I hope other celebrities don't say, "Hey, Alex Trebek got to be on video monitor. Why can't I?"
Not true.
You don't think so?
First of all, no, because the thing is, before you can go for Alex Trebek, you need to go back. You need a backup first and realize that RuPaul did it for Jeopardy and he was returning the favor doing it for Drag Race. So a week and a half ago, RuPaul was on Jeopardy in a whole category. and people had to answer the question.
I understand that, but it would have been nice to have Alex in the room and squirming. You know, that's half of the fun of the thing is like seeing these big names kind of awkwardly reacting to the queens. It's one of my favorite aspects of the show.
No, the reason why it doesn't work in that sense is because you're being too linear in terms of how you're approaching it. You have to remember, there is a section of Jeopardy where people ask video questions.
But that's not Jeopardy. This is a Drag Race.
Right. So they're keeping in the faith of that. They did it for us that way. We're going to keep it in the faith like that. That's why I say it won't affect the show in the future, because first of all, 90% of most celebrities really do want to be on the show as long as it works with their schedules based on their managers. If you speak to most celebrities, they do want to be on the show. Unfortunately, when Drag Race does film, most people are in mid-productions themselves and they can't break to do something like that. So RuPaul and them, they get who they can when they get. Plus also RuPaul has her circle of close diva friends that doesn't matter what happens when RuPaul goes, hey, kitten girl, they're like, yes, when, tell me when. Yes, I'm changing my schedule. See, it's not about who we want. It's the people, you know, like as RuPaul says, family is who we bring into our lives. It's the same thing with this. RuPaul has a family of celebrities, and these people will stop at a drop of a dime. So RuPaul doesn't need to chase, you know, RuPaul doesn't need to chase the world. You know, like the other day I was telling somebody, I said, Drag Race, in terms of the drag girls, they aren't trying to win the whole globe and the whole world. RuPaul isn't trying to win the whole globe and the whole world so that people can be interested in us. We are only concerned about our people that are into us. And once we have our own people, the rest of the world could go burn off the planet, because let's be realistic, the rest of the world is quite ugly and very untalented. I mean, have you seen the contribution of the straight allies and gays that we have when it comes to the art and everything?
Every creature under the sun has its own unique set of skills. Like, for example, I don't know how to change the car oil, but I know somebody who's listening to this podcast knows how to do it. They may not be a fierce drag queen on the runway, but they can change the car oil like nobody can.
So that's a change. So that's the change the car oil queen.
Yeah. Everybody's got their strength. Every lid's got a pot. Every pot has a lid. Every pot head has a joint.
Think about this. If RuPaul's Drag Race was only catering to, let's say, 10 million people, if RuPaul made a track and 1 million people bought that track, it means RuPaul has $1 million in her pocket.
She has 49 cents times a million in her pocket. So that was, she has about $490,000 in her pocket.
But guess what? At the end of the day, all her bills are paid. She's not worried or stressed about, girl, the phone bill is due, the car note is due. You know, that's what I'm saying. That's the beauty of our community. In the early 90s, just so you know, gay folks, in the early 90s in Chelsea, Queens, it was in 2001, they did a survey statistic and they found that one gay dollar bill was rotated around in all the gay stores and bars and venues in Chelsea, New York, back then 39 times before it physically went to the bank, before it had to then go into the hand of a straight customer, because that bank then sent that dollar bill on to a different establishment. There used to be a point where our community was that very involved in each other and supported each other. What I'm trying to say is, us as a community, we don't need the rest of the world. We do good on our own financially. Yes, we do need the rest of the world as allies. In terms of we have straight allies. Those allies help build our bigger and broader community. Mm-hmm. That's why I said, when you look at art on Instagram, you realize that the art that is fueling everything that's going on right now, T-shirts, merchandise, and all this other stuff, it's not just gay folks that are doing it. We have people like Nails for Queens, you know, Glamazon Nails, and these are all straight girls that are into what we do. Those are the yes girls. They're young, you know, and they're also making stuff for us. Acid Betty's sister, Unicorn poop glitter. You know, that's a straight girl making fierce ass nails contributing to the LGBT community. You know, it's like we have fierce allies and we're doing quite fucking good with it. I love it.
That's a great brand, by the way.
All of them are. All three that I just named, Name for Cleans, Glamazon Nails, all of them, they're doing wonderful work, you know, including all the guys that are doing the art stuff, Micah, Art by Micah, and all these other people, that Shane guy that does the comic book versions of the Drag Race girls for this season. He just popped onto this season. You know, the original author of the fan pictures, Chad Sells, you know, James L. Barry, all these other people that, you know, contribute to the artistry of our community. It's just one big beautiful thing. And the fun part is when DragCon LA happens, all the fans get to see all these artists and all the queens get to physically meet them. And when they come to New York, they get to see the same thing also as well, you know. And let me tell you this. Call me Mother Tea Leaf. Mother Tea Leaf means a bitch who can predict the future. I wouldn't be surprised if this DragCon came up. You probably would hear some crazy rumor like, girl, there's more DragCons being added into the universe or some shit. Because I believe it's now at the point where DragCon has reached a good rise. It's like the dough rising, you know, before it gets fully cooked. It's at a full crescendo right now that I can see DragCon expanding maybe to a few more cities. You know, it might happen. That's why I said Mother Tea, hashtag Mother Tea Leaf. That means I'm a queen who reads the future, bitch. Mother Tea Leaf. You've heard it here first. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if something like that happened in the future, but if it does, wonderful, it's fierce.
Let's talk about Asia O'Hara's Shape of Water tribute with a fish face mermaid, which was so fucking funny and scary and cute.
Mermaids are a mythology, and many people view mermaids in different versions. For instance, if I'm correct right now, Hulu has a show on called Siren. When they're in the water, they look ugly as F. But when they're on land, they look like humans. So everyone has a different version of their perception of mermaid. And what she said in terms of, she doesn't believe that mermaids are pretty, but they do have the body and, you know, they probably do have the face of a guppy or a yuppie, you know. And she, I mean, her fish was colorful. You know, thank God that Michelle Visage didn't try to hold her for filth and be like, your face is covered. But she's given you full color mermaid realness.
Well, you're familiar with the Fiji mermaid that P.T. Barnum, you know, used to have a museum of oddities in New York. And to get people to come to the museum, they got the head of a monkey sewn onto the back of a trout and put it in a tank and preserved it. And it looked all fucked up. It was so fucking scary.
There is no fucking need for you to be calling Lady Bunny or Linda Simpson or any of these other girls trouts. What is wrong with you?
The Fiji mermaid, I'm obsessed with the Fiji mermaid. And when I saw like footage of that as a kid, it fucking scared me to death.
It probably should. By the way, people, let's just be realistic. Linda Simpson and Lady Bunny are good friends of mine, and I love those women to death. I would dress in a Wonder Woman outfit and put on those bracelets and take a bullet for both of them bitches. So if you hear me make fun of one of my sisters, it's because I truly love those girls.
We haven't talked about Miss Vanjie being mentioned again. Every episode of this season so far, Miss Vanjie's been mentioned.
Well, it's a plus sword and a negative sword, and I'll tell you why. I'm glad that it's working for season 10 because season 10 is an epic milestone in RuPaul's Drag Race that we made it 10 seasons, you know. Mm-hmm. And they're making sure that, kind of like Porkchop, who was the first one who went home in season 1, they're doing everything that they can to honor and, you know, Vanjie is Porkchop Part 2 in terms of they're going to do everything to make sure that no one forgets Vanjie. You know, I guarantee you next season, they won't be saying Miss, they won't be calling that queen's name when she gets eliminated on season 11. You know, it's just going to be like, bye, girl. So, Vanjie, mama, pretend you work at the cow milk factory and milk this motherfucking moment. Milk it till all your udders are utterly destroyed. Get to work, girl. Walk into all them clubs. Pick up your Cointadas. Get your Bianca Bucks. Get your back page, your front page, your Craigslist. Do all of that shit, girl. But do yourself a favor. Save them pennies.
Well, you know, who knew that Laganja Estranja would be back on Drag Race in season 10 in the form of the Vixen? She feels very attacked right now.
But no.
Did you see that for Untucked? She was just like, she literally almost said, I feel very attacked right now.
Do not compare Laganja to Vixen. There is no need to put that comparison at all, because Laganja has never been anything but an exemplary queen in her season. She's beyond extremely loved from that season up until this day by everyone. In every way, shape, or form. Laganja was never a person that was fighting with anyone. And even if she and Adore had some miscommunication, they were not even fighting. So you can't say Laganja is Vixen. You cannot put season 6 and season 10 in the same boat when it comes to that.
Well, let me say this. When you're in a room with other artists who are all competing for the prize money and for the attention of the judges, and you want to get affirmation from them, you're just not going to get a satisfying response. And I think a lot of young drag queens who get on Drag Race or in similar situations, when you're wanting affirmation from other people who are fighting for the same spot as you are, you're going to feel very attacked. You're going to feel very isolated. And I think the Vixen definitely is feeling that same feeling that Laganja felt at that moment. I'm not saying that they're the same thing. But
no,
definitely
I don't think
they're
so.
Not feeling the love from the co-stars. Of course they're not.
No. First of all, you're old enough to get on Drag Race. You're not a fucking child. I don't care if you're nine episodes in and they cut you in the back. It's still a competition. Grow some pair of constitutions and get over it. She walked into that season. And at first, we tried to give her the benefit of the doubt when she said she came to fight. Well, every episode, it shows she really did come to fight. This is a person who needed to work out issues at home before they show up to the public, So everything that happens to her is all on her. That has nothing to do with other queens. That is her own mental, spiritual, and emotional demon that she needs to go battle. And it is not anybody's job there to coddle her, give her therapy for it in any way, shape, or form. This is not, no, please help me feel better about myself. You should have told me that this was not fixed. No. You hold that whole season hostage with your toxic miasma of energy. And technically speaking, I guarantee you that the week that she probably gets eliminated, half the planet would be screaming out loudly, which is kind of sad to even make a statement like that. Because at the end of the day, nobody wants to meet a negative person.
Sure.
Because we all have our own internal...
But don't you feel like she's bringing a lot of the tension that a series like that depends on to get the views that it wants? I mean, without this kind of conflict, it would be RuPaul's best friend race. And people were complaining last season that everybody got along too much. So, I mean, that's part of the reason why the producers cast somebody like the Vixen is because they're looking for that tension.
Well, I believe, listen, I've worked with faggots before. And I'm talking cutthroat ass bitches that will just try to just mess you up every way that, as I said, I'm not going to fight you. Yeah. I'm just going to keep doing me in the process. I'm not going to sit there looking for no argument with you, because, people who look for arguments with people shows me that you're insecure.
Sure.
You need some form of feedback to make your life feel as though you have oxygen in your lungs. I'm not going to sit there and placate and give in to your oxygen. I'm not going to become a part of your fuel. And you can keep saying shit. And that doesn't mean that I'm a wimp. No. sweetie, I probably have twice as much rage as you, and with probably one punch, I could make you see Jesus. And then they'd be calling for a defibrillator because Vivacious done killed that bitch in one punch. But I'm not going to give you that. You know, yes, the show needs some form of conflict, but bitch, when they said they were looking for a bitch who could get conflict, they really poked the bear this season, didn't they?
Well, and I feel, personally, I feel that Vixen hasn't been the kindest or the, most warm queen after our experience with her on Cooking with Drag Queens. And it was disappointing, her treatment or how she reacted to being on the episode. And what was equally disappointing and hurtful was the fact that she ghosted us, completely cut off all communication. And then other queens in our community also did the same thing. And it's bittersweet to see that the world now sees what we have experienced with the Vixen on the show. And at the same time, I still consider the Vixen a friend, and I would love to talk to the Vixen face to face, but she's not interested in having a conversation with me. I was at a club the other day, sitting next to a friend of mine, and Vixen comes right up to her, and in this really passive, aggressive, weird way that she did this so I would talk about it on the show, so I'm giving the Vixen what she wants. And she's just like, thank you for seeing the real me, to my friend who's sitting next to me. But, she's actually saying it to me. Like, she feels that I did not see the real her, that I didn't see the good inside the Vixen. And I would say, argue to the Vixen, if you're listening to that, that we reached out to her way before anybody was interested in her, when Queens largely ignored her. And I believed in her, and that's why I wanted her on the podcast, and I invited her to do Cooking with Drag Queens, because I like the Vixen, and I think she's a strong performer. And I would urge clubs and people who are thinking of booking her to forgive what you see and look beyond that conflict, because the Vixen, as a performer on stage, is extraordinary and deserving of the fee that she asks, and book her. Don't let that quarrel, that abrasiveness, rob you from seeing some amazing art.
Listen, we've had a few queens from Chicago so far on the show, black and white.
Sure.
Shea Coley showed us the high road, and Vixen showed the low road. Somebody's going to get pissed I said that. Too bad. Read my violin column in Dear Abby. You showed that, it's like no one could edit what you were saying and say they edited you wrong, because you had those confrontations. Even if the show did say, well, girl, go have a fight with Eureka, you can opt out to say no, because at the end of the day, and who gives a fuck
I'm one of the first people to say RuPaul's Drag Race does edit the show to make it seem more of a conflict, more of a scandal than it needs to be. But from my personal experience from working with the Vixen, that is where the Vixen is right now. As a friend, I'm really unnerved by it, because I know she's hurting deep inside, and I know it's a very lonely place to be, and it's a very scary place to be, and it's a very difficult place to be.
Well, here's the thing. RuPaul Drag Race does... Listen, there are parts of commercials leading up to, like, the next scene where RuPaul and them might do an edit, but you cannot edit a straight 500-word paragraph.
Yeah.
What you saw is what you saw. So there, no one should have the right in any way, shape, or form to say RuPaul Drag Race edits people to make them look bad. Your words are your words. Period.
Well, I think reality TV shows be manipulative. That, absolutely. You don't believe everything you see on television.
No.
If it's Fox News, fake news, Vivacious.
No. When it comes to RuPaul's Drag Race, I will defend that to the T. I was there. They don't manipulate anything. And first of all, here's the thing.
Sure.
The minute you get on a TV show, They can threaten you and say, we're going to edit you wrong. Guess what? Let them.
Sure.
At least you know that's not who you... If you don't give producers material to work with, they have nothing to work with. And if you come off... If you then come off looking mute as you said nothing, you tell the world, it's like, hey, they wanted me to be X, Y, and Z, but besides, because I didn't want to do it, guess what? They made me look like I had nothing to say. I would rather be mute on a TV show than to be seen there going off into explicatives and saying all these nasty, rude things to go show my ass on public TV, because at the end of the day, an open ass is worse attractive than a quiet person. So when you open up your ass on TV and people get to see all the insides of all that filled up shit, I deal with a whole bunch of promoters from the different clubs that are interested in booking girls from season 10. And I'll tell you this much, 8 out of 9 of them, they're like, we don't want to use the vixen because we feel that she might come to our country and do shows to make white people, that is the audience, feel like they did something wrong. You know, that's how they feel. They feel that the energy is not worth it. They feel it's very toxic to them. They're like, it's not bankable. It's not bookable. I'm not saying.
Well, it's a difficult situation because, like, if you go to a restaurant and you order food, you don't expect the food to come out burnt. And when you go pay money to see a show, you want to some degree
have a wonderful experience. You want to make sure that when you leave there, you felt as though you got your money's worth in everything. Now, let's be realistic. She might have that energy about her, but if you go online and you see her performance, you realize when it comes to can this bitch throw down as a performer and get the job done? Can she slay? Can she dance? Yes. But we're in a world now where RuPaul's Drag Race has let a whole bunch of non-talented bitches at some point or another on multiple different seasons get very far just because they only look pretty and they have no talent to back it up. And now the fans are now at season 10 where they can see their true talent from other queens who were not given the ability to shine because the show was trying to feature too much pretty over talent. And so now those are the ones that are the clubs are now looking at going, I'm going to go book you instead because we know you can actually perform. It's not just because the crowd thinks you're fuckable. We're here to also try to sell talent. There are some people out there that are holding on for talent over, oh, I think that queen is fuckable. Girl, please, then go open up your Grindr profile and go try to meet that fucking queen and go do her in the fucking alley. Just bring some condom and lube and prep, you know.
And I just, for African-American artists who are wanting to work and address racism in their work, I want to give you guys some inspiration and some resources to look at 3 different artists through the past 30 years who address these complicated topics in a very unique way. And one of them is Marlon Riggs and his work Tongues Untied, which you can watch on YouTube. Brian Freeman and his work with Pomo Afro Homos. And of course, the legendary choreographer Bill T. Jones with his lover Arnie Zane, who did amazing performances dealing with racism and AIDS discrimination in the late 80s before he passed away from AIDS. There is a lot of great performance art and work that challenges gender and racism and in a way that can really get the audience motivated to think and fight against bigotry and discrimination and not necessarily like punish the audience for being explicit about it. Because there are 2 types of people in this world. There are racists and there are people who don't know they're racist. Everybody in some degree is racist. And as they say in Avenue Q, you know, everybody's a little bit racist sometimes. And the question is, what do you do with those that illogical, misinformed feeling that you have in your brain that is not your better self? What do you do with that? And I think that talking about racism and fighting racism is so important that it's much bigger than the Vixen and it's much bigger than RuPaul's Drag Race. And it bothers me to some degree that the vixen is in this situation where she comes across as unkind and abrasive. I would love to see Bill T. Jones, Brian Freeman, Tongues Untied, Marlon Briggs be contestants on RuPaul's Drag Race, because they're such extraordinary black gay artists who worked with gender and AIDS and racism in their work in a way that was just transcendent and deeply personal and beautiful.
And at the same time, it is their path. It is their choice to make. And what I have to say about it really shouldn't matter that much. This is just a different way to look at a situation if you want a different way to look at it.
I don't think that I'm sure. Yes, racism exists, but the vixen is not racist.
No.
Let's clear that up right now.
No, she's trying the to vixen fight racism. Has, yeah.
I don't even think that's what this is about. No, well, it's not.
I think she's trying to. Definitely that's a goal
no,
for her.
No, she's not. No, no, no. The vixen.
You don't feel that she's trying to fight racism?
No, she isn't. The vixen is just an angry person.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm saying is, as a person who has a lot of built up anger, everybody else that's looking at this in terms of anger is not trying to want to be on that level to be around a person with that much anger in them. This has nothing to do with racism. This is just anger. That's her personal anger. This has nothing to do with racism at all.
Anger fuels some of the greatest art in the world.
Sweetie,
anger is important.
It doesn't matter if it's important or it's not. You do not try to steer her anger into racism. This has nothing to do with race. This has nothing
she's
to do with race.
She's angry about people's bigotry and her experience. Southside trash.
She didn't say anything about any of that. If you look at Vixen, based on a TV show, she just has inner anger. Stop trying to put this on race. It's not. She just has anger. That's it. All I'm saying is from contestants and regular people that are watching the show, to them, having that much anger is not something that they want to experience around them with that much anger involved. We all have anger. Everybody at some point is going to flip a lid, flip a screen, flip somebody off, or do something, you know? And when you do, everybody arches that one eyebrow and look at them and be like, bitch, you know, she's just angry.
Yeah.
This has nothing to do with race whatsoever. And that's what she's portraying in this season of season 10's Drag Race. And so as regular people that are watching this show, regular white folks, regular black folks or whatever, they're just seeing anger. If I see an angry person, guess what I'm going to tell you off the back? I don't want to know you. I don't want to interact with you. And as Cardi B says, I don't fucks with you. You know, and that's how most of these fans are feeling when it comes to anger in that sense. It has nothing to do with race. Because, listen, I'm angry about the system of racism. Trust me, I think I get it probably more than Vixen. And I'm sure that Vixen has more tangible experiences from it, probably being from Chicago. I don't know, because according to Donald Trump, there's a lot of shit going on in Chicago, you know, whatever. But what I'm saying is, even though I experience that stuff, it does not define my joy. Racism does not define my joy in terms of how I exude and pass joy on forward. Now, as a gay person whose parents did everything to destroy their inner spirit, the one thing I would say out of this that it's probably taken from me physically is my inner smile, in terms of if you meet me, you'll be like, that bitch don't smile much. But if you meet me, you will say, that bitch don't smile much. Now, if you get to know me, you'll be like, that's a funny motherfucker. I can't stand hanging out with that bitch because she's going to always try to crack me up and make me laugh. If you meet me, I don't smile. I will hug you and smile at a meet and greet because I like to meet new people. But if you meet me, you'll be like, you know what? I don't really sense that fierce inner joy like a white blonde-haired girl would have. That's based on my mother.
You think that's why Bob doesn't like to smile during photos?
No, because everybody's situation is completely different. My inner joy was taken from being by my parents. However, that's not going to stop me from what you saw me at DragCon. I was waiting to meet the next person and the next
You're very sweet and friendly with your fans. Absolutely.
My smile is not calculated. It is not fake. I used to walk out at the 42nd Street when I worked at Club USA back in 92. And I would go outside at the corner because it was Broadway and 47th Street. And there were all these different races passing by speaking different languages. And I would just smile just hearing all these different languages. Couldn't understand a lick what they were saying, but it, me making up my own conversation. I said, oh, I'm going to eat here. Oh, I'm going to do this. Oh, I'm going to do that. And it made me very happy because I wish if I could walk off with them and go and experience what they were doing. So I'm always happy to meet other people. But what I'm saying is, even though things were thrown at me, and also from a racist point of view as well, in terms of, bitch, if you're black and you've never experienced racism, then you're living in a fierce world. Give me the chip and bring me there.
Kanye West.
Fuck that hoe. It's not Kanye West, bitch. It's Kanye West. So let's leave that alone also. We're not even touching him. However, regardless of what is thrown at you, you still have to find your inner light, your inner stride, and your inner happiness to move forward. If somebody tries to knock you down, figure out how to use it as fuel to move forward and get better than them and turn around where you're in a position of power and go, now, bitch.
I do say that. Looking, if you just Google vivacious drag queen, I would say 75% of those photos has a very wise, very caring smirk on your face. Like you're laughing at the cosmic dance that humanity goes through.
I'm going to tell you why. Here's the thing. I don't use my boy name that my parents physically gave me because my boy name, I consider it to be my slave name. That is the name that I was under when I came out to my parents and they spent over 13 years asking God to kill me. So that name with that face, I don't smile in because that name represents years of hurt. Imagine being so close with your parents that you were so close the minute you came out the closet and your relationship went from being at the top heaven and now you're separated in heaven. And it's them finding every lightning bolt and dagger that they could find from heaven and throwing them all at you within 3 million daggers per second, all pointed at you from heaven. It's like heaven's arsenal pointed at you, trying to kill you. But somehow, even though everything hit you, you still managed to pull yourself, soul, and preservation together. So my boy name is not something that I celebrate. Vivacious is the character that's always been inside my boy name. I've had that name since the second grade. My teacher gave it to me. That represents my inner joy, my inner happiness, you know. And so when I slip into the mode vivacious, that's where I find my best and happy place to move forward. Now, yes, we're all people working through our own personal issues. So, yes, one of my flaws is I might not smile enough. You know, at times I'm very, bitch, first of all, I'm Jamaican, so I'm always going to be serious. We're like fucking Klingons. Today's a good day to die. You know, we don't smile that much, but that's just who we are. But for me personally, I will never let racism get the best of me. I will never let somebody else's issue or compunctions of what they have against me turn me into some negative person that I'm now going to exude seethingness and anger and all these other things, because this really real issues. Who the hell wants to be with somebody who pulls the life out of your universe? No one succubus around them, energy succubus. That's very toxic. And after they did that throw the queen under the bus shit on stage, as Monet said, girl, you know Untucked is about to get real lit, bitch. And honey, she held that whole Untucked room hostage. I mean, hostage.
Yeah.
Personally, if I was on that season, I probably would have walked away from it because at the end of the day, I'm in control of me. I don't give a fuck who's in that room. If you try, first of all,
you would have walked off the show completely, or you just walked away from the conflict?
I would walk away from that room.
Yeah.
If they try to tell me to go back in there to fix it, no, that would not be fixed at the time, because every human being is temperamental. And for me, I'm very temperamental. When I go into DEFCON mode in terms of anger, it takes a very long time to cool me down. I'm the type of person, I will hold a grudge in my hand and watch it burn as hot as the sun and still hold on to it and go, that's okay, bitch. You might be the sun. You might be 300 billion degrees, but guess what? The hatred in me is hotter than that motherfucker. To me, you're just an icicle in my hand that looks slightly yellow. Don't fuck with this, bitch. My heat burns worse. So it'll take me a time to ever come down from a situation like that. So for me, knowing myself, I would walk away from a situation like that in every way, shape, or form. Because I believe at the end of the day, the best thing that you could do with your anger is to channel it. Sure. And channel it into something better. There is no need to take it out on the next person. There's no, you know who uses anger on people? Insecure people. Because if you and you know, insecurity comes from different things. You know, insecurity comes from a person who will tell you, oh, you know, if you ain't doing this, you're not doing drag. If you're not wearing high heels, you're not doing drag. If you're not wearing 6-inch nails, you're not doing drag. If you're not wearing 22 inches, bitch, please, drag comes in everywhere, shape of form. You're going to tell the bald-headed queen she ain't doing drag just because she don't have on a 22-inch weave? What are you going to tell the martial arts queen that? What are you going to tell the martial arts queen who she decides to be a drag queen and use martial arts to show that not only straight people can fight martial arts and use martial arts, but I'm a drag queen that does martial arts with weapons, and I can't wear nails because these instruments that I use requires that my nails can't be have on nails on my hands. I need my physical hand for tactile maneuverability with these instruments. You're going to tell that queen that since she's not wearing nails, she's not doing drag? Bitch, she'll knock you out and keep on doing her martial arts right in front of you as you laid flat on the ground with your insecure little rule that you put out there in the universe to make yourself feel secure. So as I said, insecurity comes in many different forms. People who sit there and fight with other people, it is a form of insecurity. You're trying to put your insecurity onto other people to try to create a subconscious rule in their head so that they will come around to your way so that you can feel secure about your damn self. And it's a matter of looking at the matrix and stepping away from it and going, Nah, girl, I'm good. I'm going to be over here and you keep doing you, but what you do, you know, it's one of those rules that RuPaul says. If they ain't paying your bills, pay them bitches no mind, you know.
When you have a broken heart, you make art. You don't kill your enemies. You slay it. You punish the beat and you kill it on the runway.
Yes, it's true. You know, it's like and in times like this under a Trump dynasty, you know, this is where we need to be pulling together. And let's be realistic. I would say within the last 3-4 years, the art that has contributed to RuPaul's Drag Race has increased drastically. It's so fierce. If you could see the people that I follow on my Instagram page and see the amount of art that is being thrown out by them week after week, their art makes me feel happy because it's just all pretty and fierce shit that these people are coming up with stuff left and right. This drawing, this painting, that Photoshop, this, that. You know, and it's like, yeah, we're giving Anna Wintour a run for her motherfucking money. You know, it's like one of the fiercest people that I look like looking at, his name is Ryan Burke. Look him up. He's on Instagram. He's from New York. That boy does three photo shoots a day of makeup on his face. There is thousands of pictures. If you want to get inspiration, I didn't know that a face could do so much. Look at his page and you'll be like, this motherfucker went to town on himself and built himself as this person that has so many million looks to the point where, you know, the guru makeup artist, fashion icon, Pat McGrath, looked at him and decided, you're going to be one of my people.
Yeah, she's absolutely stunning.
And it's that's amazing.
Some design there, you know. If you ever feel like you need some inspiration, honey,
R.Y. Burke on Instagram. Holy shit. And it's like,
honey,
yeah, it's really Ryan transcendent.
Put it this way. I love Ryan Burke. Every time I look at him, I feel as though he just fucked me with 900 different orgasms. Mm-hmm. Like, every look on his page is like getting jackhammered right in your prostate. That's an automatic G-spot orgasm without even somebody touching you. Like, beyond talented. I live. Now, after this whole interview is done, make sure you tag him on this because I want him to know I think very highly of him. He's a friend of mine. I work with him all the time when they do Battle Hymn here in New York. So I get very happy when I see him on those Sunday parties, etc. You know, but what I'm saying is combined together between Drag Race and all these fierce artists all over the place, there is so much art out there that the LGBT and straight community that are putting together synergistically. It's like happy something. It's just so much. And I live for all of that, you know? And so it's like, it's very baffling. I shouldn't say it's very baffling. It is a little bit disconcerting when you then meet a person from this season. It's the 10th season. I guess when RuPaul Drag Race was doing their homework on we need a rebel browser or something, you know, they did their homework and be like, Vixen will stir some shit up in this season. Honey, she done outdid every bitch that was ever an antagonist on all 10 seasons combined. I've never seen... I don't think Fifi O'Hara has ever held an untucked hostage. She has tried, but it was never to this magnitude. I mean, when Fifi had her falling out with Willem and Sharon Needles, there were still people in the room going back and forth and, you know, siphoning off some of that displacement in that displaced energy. In this episode of Drag Race, everybody in that room was like, "Ooh, let me gag and gulp three more times."
Yeah.
I'm sure if Drag Race could have provided them a stronger drink in the untucked room, it probably wouldn't even help them in the process. You know, as in it was a
I'm
lot
surprised
to swallow.
None of the queens are bringing like a little flask. It sometimes gets so intense in there.
No. But you got to remember, at the end of the day, you know, there's Big Brother watching. There are lawyers watching. The edges has got to be fully snatched in the proper context, sure, in terms of the optics. They can't bring a flask or anything like that.
At the end of the day,
I'll say this. What's going on with the Vixen has nothing to do with racism. It's just displaced anger. It's things that happen in her life that forms who she is. And anything that is said towards her triggers her and she goes off. And it's a whole bunch of rage from years of stuff that's coming out against that other person. And I'll tell you this much, as clients, as fans of the show, they personally don't want to deal with that at all. Because, you know, they look at drag, you know, I always tell people this. I'm from a different era of drag. And this is my definition of drag queens. At the end of the word drag queen is the word queen. So think of the queen mom. So if you're not trying to be an exempt bitch in terms of how you always carry yourself, or let's put it in the words of Kennedy Davenport, condone and conduct yourself. If you're not doing it properly, you're not doing justice to the word queen, because in my day, for me personally, I worked in straight clubs. If I went to all those straight clubs that I worked with full of wasps, you know what a wasp is? White Anglo-Saxon Protestant. That was my clientele. If I had worked in all those clubs for 27 years, coming off like the Vixen, guess what would happen? I wouldn't have no work. If I was acting like an angry person, that I wouldn't be hired. I've been working in those places for 27 years. Anger energy will not let anybody open the door for you for anything. I don't care if you're the fiercest of that craft. If you, that's why every season when it comes to Drag Race and they ask me, what do you think of the girls? I'm like, I'm just praying that none of them ever comes off like an angry black person, because people give to have the all black people are angry, and it's a bad stereotype that needs to stop.
Sure.
And we need to, as a black race, we need to stop playing into that stereotype. Yes, the systemics of the racism against us, but there are ways to still rise and move forward and beat them at their own game. Listen, everything, every human being contributes to one, to the universe. There are gifts that we all have that other people can resonate with. And when you push that gift forward, you will find that you are not the only one that have that gift. You will find that there are fans of your gift. And those people will pull and push their energy towards you to help you rise as an individual. And when you make that gift the strongest that you can, you will realize that your gift will allow you, even though there are systemics against you and disenfranchisements against you, you will find that that gift will allow you to rise above what's against you. And you will beat it, but then in the process, you can now take your platform to use and turn back around and fight the systemic itself. For instance, up until when Trump got the election, the nomination to be president of the United States, I was never a political person. If you go on my Facebook page, you're like, damn, girl, you just ripping Trump left and right. I'm like, I had no choice. I'll explain why I had to do that. For 20-something years, I was working with all these white Anglo-Saxon Protestant people. And as soon as Trump got that nomination, these motherfuckers started to put up lynching signs and Klan signs all over their pages. For the first 60 times it happens, I held my tongue. I'm like, my name is Bennett. I'm not in it. I'm not going to get political. Imagine, more than half of the probably... more than half of them I slept with knew them quite intimately in every way, shape, or form. And if they were all racist along and they were just playing along, which makes no sense for me because the music and house music, I work in the house music straight scene. All the music is by people of color from different nationalities all over the planet. They're all talking about peace, love, and respect. We're talking these are vocal songs. Keep pushing on, things are better, you know. And, I get lifted. Yes, I get lifted. And that's what being lifted by the Spirit of God. These are all tracks. And there are all these people who hear these tracks and are dancing to it. And at no point did they get the message that these tracks are talking about love and unity. So how is it the minute that Trump got that approval, you're going to turn into this racist? Well, I decided that if they were going to sit there and be in denial about the history of racism and the complicitness of it and the systemics of it, I needed to on my the proof that this happened. Here's the proof of this happened. And they all started getting pissed. I don't know why there's an artist over there who should be lip syncing for her damn money. All of a sudden it's getting political. I had to get political because you decided you wanted to become racist. And so my page became a page of arguing with them back and forth. But is that me normally on a regular day? Hell no. I'm a happy bitch.
Before we wrap this up, I do want to bring attention to the powerful, actually kind of beautiful words of Van Lathan. He's a journalist who works for TMZ, of all places, who happened to be within hearing distance of Kanye West. And Van Lathan is African-American, and you've probably are familiar already with Kanye West said, but I just want to repeat it and then read to you what Van Lathan said, which I think is very important. Now, Kanye was interviewed and had to say about race, about slavery. He said, when you hear about slavery for 400 years, to me, that sounds like a choice. You were there for 400 years, and it's all of y'all. It's like we were mentally imprisoned. Inferring that the circumstances, the horrific circumstances, the Holocaust that African Americans have gone through was something that they chose to go through. Now, Van Lathan, he responded to him. He said, while you're making music and being an artist and living a life you've earned by being a genius, the rest of us in society have to deal with these threats to our lives. We have to deal with marginalization that has come from those 400 years of slavery that you said for our people was a choice. Frankly, I'm disappointed.
I'm appalled, and brother, I'm unbelievably hurt by the fact that you have morphed into something that to me is not real. And then when later on he was asked to talk about it, he said, I am my ancestors. I am their survival. I am their will. I am the descendant of slaves who refused to die, and we all are if you're black in America. Any speech that is used to weaken them and make them culpable for the wretched and putrid circumstances, I don't feel I could really tolerate. Never forget the amazing people you have that are your ancestors and the strength you can draw from them.
Wow.
That is, I want everybody to hear those words. That is such, everybody especially, can relate to that.
Right, especially from the part where you said, I am my ancestors, everything from that point forward. That is very strong and that's very deep.
Yeah, isn't that so beautiful?
I didn't even hear the rest of that part. You know, like, for instance, this is what, I'm the type of person, and you will know this about me. If I read a story about racism or see a police violence, I don't watch the whole thing. And I do that for self-soul preservation. And even with this Kanye thing, I don't want to watch the whole thing or hear the whole thing. I just need to hear a snippet and walk away. And, you know, I know people go, well, that's not fair that you only want to hear a snippet. Because I'm the type of person, if I hear the whole thing, it will turn me into that angry black person.
It makes your blood boil.
It will lead me down. It will lead me down that path of being that angry black person for the rest of my life. I'm not saying I'm trying to forget that it was said. I'm trying to say, as a person of color, we every day have to walk two borderlines. Be a borderline to exist and be positive, and the borderline sitting there and be angry about all the injustice. If you let the negatives eat at you over and over, do anything but be negative, and that negativeness can turn your mind into something else. Think about this. If 400 years of slavery existed into this planet, how is it that in the United States, it's not the blacks that's going around shooting up white folks? Food for thought. Just saying. Food for thought. So I can't sit there and let things just burn and eat me up. You know, and because you can't. You have to try to find the happy place and to live from that area and use that section of your happy life to change things around you. When I worked in straight clubs, I realized that I was going to walk in. They were going to call me faggot. Okay. But you know what? As an artist, you keep doing your job. By the fifth week, he will be in your bed with his legs over your shoulders as he's screaming Jesus.
When you have a broken heart, you make art. And Vivacious, I have to tell you, I absolutely cherish you as a friend. You're one of my favorite guests to have on the podcast. Your passion for diving deeply into these difficult, complicated topics, month after month, year after year, is really a gift to the world. And I'm so happy that you're able to share that with us and the audience that tunes in. Fearlessly be vivacious.
Well, we got to do, you know, if you can't be something, how the hell you going to be something else, you know, in the words of RuPaul. But let me say this. I love my sister, the Vixen. She'll figure it out. She's, regardless of what your perception is of her, she is a fierce entertainer. When I go online, if I'm going to look for inspiration as to, I wish if I could still do all that body flexibility, I'm going to go watch a video of hers. Does it detract from the fact of where her energy comes from? No, I'm looking at the art of what she's doing. So for some of you who like to just look at the other optics of it, take that part out of your head. Go experience the art of what she does and enjoy that instead. Period. That's the best way to move forward on some things. I'm not saying to, you know, put on rosy gold glasses and pretend that things don't exist. What I'm saying is, for everything in life, there is a silver lining in there. Always look for the silver lining. Everything else around it, delete.
Vivacious, thank you so much for joining me today. I know it's not as much fun without Mark here.
I miss my huggy tear booby boo boo.
How am I going to survive? This is going to be almost 2 months of him being gone on this secret project.
Well, bitch, you better go get a fleshlight and a dildo and name one of them him and throw it in the corner.
I thought when he was going to be gone, I'd be like, I'm going to rock out. I'm going to have a party. I'm going to be sucking all the dicks. And me and Jesse, we're just snuggled up here whimpering in a corner. Being, when's daddy coming home?
And Jesse's going, when is he coming to walk me today? Jesse's going to come out and it's time for abandonment.
Well, I took him to a park today, and he found these weird little British twins, a boy and a girl. They look like the kids from the Children of the Corn or something. They're like, can we play with the old dog? And I was like, sure, why not? And they were so sweet to Jesse, and Jesse was so sweet to them. And it was like they were like aliens. They were blonde with really bright blue eyes. And that's the father so was a brunette, you know? So I was just like, oh my God, you have alien children, you know? You know that movie, The Village of the Damned? Was it these all the women got pregnant all of one sudden, and then they gave birth to all these like weird little alien babies that made people kill themselves? And, you know, but there were, I guess they were really nice to dogs. I ran into two of those kids today, and they had perfect English accents.
So they survived, honey.
They did. They're around here, honey. They're coming back for you. And they're going to make you do things with their brain powers.
Honey, you need to find out what day of the year do they have their most power. Is it Halloween? Just saying.
They made Jesse do things I've never seen Jesse do before. And he was like, he loved these little kids. It was so crazy. Like, Jesse's kind of spastic, you know? He pulls on the leash and all this stuff. And the little kids were like, can we play with him? Can we play with him, please? And they're throwing the ball and, like, talking to him really sweet. And I was like, listen, if you guys just want to take him home with you, you're more than welcome to. And the dads were like, no, we're not taking him home.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare. That's your dog. That's Mark's dog. Nobody else's.
You know, when I was a kid, my dad used to be like, boy for sale. And it used to freak me out.
Oh, goodness. Well, this was a wonderful interview to have. I know it was very thought-provoking, you know, and I'm sure people will leave this interview with a lot to take in and, you know, probably have some questions to ask back in the process. So if you need to ask them back, make sure you send a message to Mark and redirect all your questions to him and on the next podcast.
You can't. There's no communication. He will not answer emails. Do not hit him up on social media. Don't post anything.
I'm telling them to hit you up to answer questions after they've gone through this podcast. If they feel that anything that I said that needed to be addressed, make sure you hit up Feast of Fun and redirect the questions. I probably did say Mark instead
of Faust. You can interact with the listeners of the show. We have a Feast of Fun Friends of the Show group on Facebook, facebook.com/groups/Feast of Fun. And you can interact with people, share. If you have a podcast that you do or your own response or you made a video, share that with the listeners and friends of the show.
Gotcha. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been real.
I love you, Vivacious.
Love you, too.
Take care, my dear.
Okay, love. I'll catch you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Vivacious lives in New York City. Check her out at Vivacious NYC on Instagram, YouTube land, Twitter land, Facebook land, all the lands across the land, as the great T.S. Madison likes to say. Vivacious is a friend to man, beast, women, children, aliens, shapeshifters of all kinds, spiritual entities.
artificial and natural intelligences and is ready for to be book honey. If you love this queen, bring her to your neighborhood. You can reach her at Vivacious. What's your email address, honey?
Vivaciousofficial@gmail.com. It ain't never changed.
So reach out to the queen and let her know that you need her to be seen. Bye.
Bye.